Hello, PMP. Good afternoon. This is Office Hours on a Saturday, and here's how we roll, okay? If you want to get coached, just raise your hand. I will take you in the order that Zoom puts you in. I will tell you this, if you lower your hand or if you leave and you come back, Zoom will put you at the bottom of the list. So that's super important information for you to have. So we are here until about 2 o'clock Central. And if you all want to talk amongst yourselves, use the chat. I probably won't be in that much. If you have a quick question, you can put it in the Q&A and I will go through those real quick at the end. So let's get started. Let's see who we have here. Callie, you're first.
Or afternoon, I guess.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good.
Well, the thing that I would like to be coached on a little bit today is my journaling.
Okay.
And I have noticed that I am having a hard time where I am editing my thoughts while I'm writing and putting a spin on them, a little bit of a PR spin, so that they're not quite honest.
So why do you think you're doing that?
Well, that's what I'm struggling with. I was thinking about it, I'm like, well, I mean, I know that for what I do for my profession, I'm constantly editing to make sure that what you have in writing may not be used against you and puts the best light forward.
Right.
And I'm wondering if that is just bleeding into as a habit, or if it's because I just don't want to be as honest as I need to be with myself. And I'm not sure how to get over that and start writing honestly and having a conversation with myself through my writing about the actual issues.
Okay. So here's what I would do if I were you. I would tell myself when I sit down to write that I am not allowed to edit today. I'm going to write whatever comes out, whatever comes into my head is going to go right out my fingertips.
Okay, but I think that I'm doing that, but I'm still editing in my head before it even reaches the paper.
Okay. Do you see yourself editing?
In my head? Typically not so much until I'm reflecting and then I go, that's not quite right.
So what if you were to go back and look at that TDL and say, and just kind of, you know, go back and say, well, this was an edited one. It should have said this. This is an edited sentence. It should have said this. You know, what I was really thinking was this. What if you were to do that? Give me an example of something,
You
thought, but then edited.
Oh, Lord. Well, I had a thought. I was journaling about my last workout.
Okay.
And how I showed up for myself in my last workout.
Okay.
And in my work, in my journal, I was telling myself, you know, you really showed up. You did what you needed to do. When the instructor told you to increase, you increased, you know, great affirmations for myself. Yay, right. Me.
Yeah.
But looking back, I was like, no, I didn't. I sat down when he told us to stand 3 times. I did not add on 2 to 3 clicks because it's a spin class. I did not add on 2 to 3 clicks. I added maybe 1, if that. And yeah, I did show up for myself. I was on the bike for 45 minutes. But was I really there and present? No, I grabbed my phone a few times. I was dithering around, looking around. I wasn't as focused as I claimed to have been when I was talking and reflecting on my workout for that day.
So why aren't you TDLing that when you're thinking that?
Again, I think it's, I'm trying not to be too critical
Why not?
Of myself.
Here's the thing. You're not being critical of yourself when you're writing down those thoughts. All you're doing is exposing those thoughts. They're already in there. You're already being critical. The act of writing them down doesn't make you more critical. It just exposes what you're thinking, the true thoughts that you're thinking.
But how do you live with the true thoughts that you're thinking?
That's what you have to learn to do. That's, you know, as long as they run around in your head, you think they're not causing any damage, but they are.
Okay? Oh, I know they are.
Right, right. So you have to get them out of your head and onto the paper and see the critical nature of the thoughts and decide. That's when you look at them and decide if they're really the truth. Okay? You could have been on that bike going, you know, what a loser. I can't believe you are looking at your phone during this, you know, and just doing the mental beatdown, right? When you expose those thoughts and you put them on paper, you see them and you say, wait a minute, I'm talking to myself really ugly. I'm not a loser. Yeah, I looked at my phone. Next time I won't. But really, you know, this whole conversation here is super unproductive. And I'm glad I know now that I tell myself this, so that when I do it next time, I can put a stop to it.
Okay.
Okay. So let me say this again. Just because you're editing and not writing it down doesn't mean it's not going on in your head. And if you think, if you've attached writing it down as being critical, then you're really ignoring the fact that you're already being critical in your mind. And the fact that you're not pulling those critical thoughts out and looking at them and assessing them and deciding what to do with them allows them to just keep on rolling in your head.
Okay. So say once I put them down and I'm aware of what they are, because I do have some examples and that's more personal stuff that I'm willing to say with a bunch of people listening.
Sure.
How do you sit and deal with those particular thoughts and overcome them? Okay. How do you do that next step process?
So theoretically, you recognize that they are only thoughts. Okay?
Okay.
This is where you have to really be careful about what the facts of your life are and what you think about them.
Okay.
Okay. So you go back through this super critical, whatever, true TDL, and you look for only the facts. And the way you
what if there are no facts in your TDL?
Then you know. And that's very common. That's super common. But you know that those are all thoughts, which means those are all optional.
Okay.
Okay? That's when you go, okay, this is the one I want to work on today because I know logically this is a thought, but I have a lot of emotion around it. So why do I have so much emotion invested in this thought when it's only a thought?
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think I was missing that connection because I was doing a lot of my thought downloads and trying to highlight the facts. And I'm good at picking out facts. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there weren't too many.
That's very, very common.
And then I didn't know where to go from there.
Of sentences that are facts, right?
Yeah.
I went to the grocery store today and it sucked. I went to the grocery store is the only part of that that's the fact. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just remembering that the whole purpose behind a thought download is to figure out what's going on in your head because your thoughts drive everything. Your thoughts, if you think about the model, the thoughts create the feelings, which drive the actions, which create your results. So seeing what you're actually thinking and assessing it and looking at it and deciding whether or not you want to keep thinking that is the first step to becoming very intentional about what you want to think. I just heard Corinne, I don't know if you guys listened to The Weekend Motivator this week. It was really, really good. And she was talking about having your own back. And she said one of the things she TDLs, I wrote it down, took notes on her Weekend Motivator because it was so good. She said one of the things she TDLs is she TDLs how she's going to think about what she's going to think about. So she make a list of, these are the things I want to think today. And then she'll say, all right, and this is how I'm going to make sure I think these things. So she gets very intentional early in the morning, deciding what she's going to think during that day, knowing that all the thoughts that are automatic, that are just thoughts that create havoc, knowing that they're coming, she just has the answers prepared. She has the responses to those thoughts prepared.
Okay.
That's eventually where you go with all that.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
And then it does. And then the only other part that I struggle with is reflecting back. Sometimes I have an irrational aversion to reading what I just wrote. Okay. And I don't.
Why?
Because I don't want to think about it. Okay. I just want to get it down. I want to think about it in the moment. Thinking about it in the moment's hard enough. And then I move on with it and I don't go back. And do you have any tips for getting around that irrational aversion where I just can't even look at the paper again?
Yeah. You know why you can't look at it? It's because you're judging the thoughts as wrong. I shouldn't be thinking this. I don't want to think these things. Okay. That's why if you take the judgment out of it and say, you know what, I am thinking these things and I'm, what is it? The term I hear, a grown-ass woman, and I'm going to fix it. Right. But no, seriously, that's what it is. That's, you know, the reason you don't want to look at it is because you judged them as wrong or hurtful or painful or whatever. If you stop the judgment and just recognize them as sentences that your brain replays, then it sort of takes the power out of them. You're able to go back in and just pick it apart sentence by sentence and say, is that really true? No, here's why. Is that really true? Well, yes, maybe. And this is how I'm going to work on it. You see what I'm saying? You become kind of the watcher of your own thoughts. It's a very intriguing concept if you think about it. It's like your own coach, where you go back through and you assess your thoughts and decide which ones are worth keeping and which ones aren't, but you do it from a place of not judging them as right or wrong, because they're going to be in there, right?
Yeah.
My go-to poison thought, and I've told a lot of people this by now, is I'm not good enough. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's just, you know, I'm not a good enough worker. I'm not a good enough coach. I'm not a good enough wife. It shows up. I could rattle off 8 or 10 places in my life I'm not good enough, and it's everywhere. That's my thought. I call that a thought error. Okay.
Okay.
So one day I wrote down all the places I'm not good enough. So like one of them was, I'm not a good enough grandmother. Okay. That means I'm just comparing myself to the other grandmother. But
I was going to say, how does that even happen?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. It's a thought error. So I wrote down, I'm not a good enough grandmother. Is this true? No. And why is this not true? Because my grandchildren love me. That's all. One small declarative sentence that debunks the thought error.
Okay.
That's what you do.
That's a good approach to it. And that's not something that I've been doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you've been avoiding thinking the thoughts. You've been avoiding recognizing the thoughts. You have to recognize them first.
Okay. Well, thanks you. I appreciate it. Yes.
You're very welcome.
Yes, it does.
All right. Talk to you later. All right. Trina, you're next. Hello.
Hi. Just came in from the pool, so.
Oh, nice.
I know, but yeah, I was like, I'm laying on the float and I was like, okay, I've got to get these thoughts out of my head and I'm gonna see if there's a coaching call. And there was, so this is my first one.
Okay.
April baby. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud. So I'm really struggling with the thoughts that I have around my daughter, who's 25. So she's grown, but she's gained a significant amount of weight through a bad relationship. And now she's in a great one. She just got engaged at the beginning of the month, but you know, she's gained probably over 100 pounds. And the first thing I think about when I look at her is I just see that misery through the weight. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to really figure out how to not be judgmental, how not to see that when I first look at her. Like I said, she got engaged and I said, you know, she's talking about dress shopping because she already wants to book everything and she's mm-hmm. so excited. And I said, well, mm-hmm. do you have any goals that you want to, you know, hit before we do dress shopping? And she's like, no, it, you know, like if it is what it is, and if I lose weight, that's fine. And I'm just really struggling with it.
Mm-hmm. So why are you judging her weight?
Oh gosh. I mean, obviously it's probably some reflection of myself, but I don't know. I mean, I think because when I look at her, I associate it with her being unhappy when she was struggling in her relationship. And mm-hmm. I see it as like an unhappy weight gain. And it kind of equates to depression to me. And I kind of okay. feel like now if she's not depressed, why is she still overweight?
Okay. That's all thoughts.
I know.
It's all thoughts. There's not one fact in there other than she's so many pounds overweight.
Right.
Right.
So what do I do?
You recognize that you have a bunch of thoughts and judgments right. about your daughter and about her weight. It's called the manual, right? Do you know the concept of the manual?
I don't.
I always think about, you know, my husband used to work on our cars. He used to do all the oil changes and the brakes and all this, you know, and changing out this hose and that hose. And we used to have this big, huge, hardbacked, it was a Chilton's manual. And I'm sure, you know, there are people on this call, maybe or maybe not, that know this big 500-page hardback book that told you how to fix anything on any car back in the 70s, probably. Okay, I'm dating myself, but it's okay. That's what you have for your daughter. You have a big 500-page book, hardback book, that says she should be this, she should be that, she should think this, she should do that, she should. It's a whole list of broad expectations that you have for her that you think will make her happy, that you think she should do, that you think she should employ in her life. Okay?
Yeah.
She, on the other hand, doesn't know about your manual, probably doesn't even care about your manual. All right? She's happy. She's excited. She's getting married. If she cares about her weight, she hadn't told you, right? So you thinking about what she should be thinking about is only causing you pain. It's not doing a thing for her. She probably doesn't even care. Right?
Right. I guess, and I also just worry that she's going to look back and care later. You know what okay. I mean? And I think that also is a reflection of myself. You know, like when we look back on pictures and we're like, oh my God, how did I get that big? No one said uh-huh. anything and things like that.
How's that a reflection on you? How's what she eats a reflection on you? It's not. I don't even want you to answer that question. It's not. All you're doing is worrying, which isn't helping anything anyway. Worry is unproductive, right? You can worry all day long. It's not fixing a thing. Doesn't matter what you're worried about. Worry is like the biggest waste of time ever in the history of the world. Because all we're doing is disaster planning. What if, you know, she ends up hating her pictures? What's the worst right. that can happen, right? She has wedding pictures. She gets to decide if she loves them or hates them. She'll probably look at them and think it's the best day of her entire life. You're the one who's going to look at them and say, man, she shouldn't have weighed that much. Instead of seeing this is the best day of her life, you're going to be judging her because she didn't meet your expectations for what she should weigh.
I know. I know. And I mean, I feel bad for feeling that way. I mean, I don't want to feel that way.
I don't want you to feel bad for feeling that way. I want you to really, really look at whether or not these thoughts and feelings are productive in your relationship with her. What if you were to just set them aside, put them on the table? Here's where they sit today. I'm going to go dress shopping with her and I'm going to love every minute because my daughter's getting married. And every time I catch myself judging her for her weight, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm not doing that right now. I really, really, you have to remind yourself, I really, really want to focus on what's going what's going on in this moment, and it's not about her weight. Now, as her mom, your inclination is going to be to worry about her feelings and her health and her this and her that. But worry is not going to help you, and she's 25 years old.
I get that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I need to just have those conversations in my head when things like this pop up.
You need to thought download like a boss about this.
Yeah.
You okay. Really, really do. Just like Callie, you need to get all this onto the paper, and then you need to read it and decide if this is really how you want to show up, because thoughts are optional, right? Feelings are optional. All of those things are under your control. Now, are they going to pop up and be automatic? Yes, that's going to happen. Just like my I'm not good enough is going to pop up. Yeah. But that doesn't mean I have to show up on this call thinking I'm not good enough.
Okay.
Okay. So is, oh my gosh, she's overweight, going to pop into your head? Yes. But that doesn't mean you have to show up in worry and stress and angst because you think she's overweight. You can say, you know what? Yes, this is her weight, but I'm okay with it because she's okay with it. Now, if she were to come to you, absolutely, jump in and say, yo, I'm all in with you. What can I do to help? And all that kind of stuff. But she's 25 years old. She's gonna figure it out. She's going to figure out if she loves herself. She probably already knows whether or not she loves herself. She probably does if she's that happy.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously being 20, I mean, she has talked to me about her weight and, you know, I've offered to do everything under the sun for her, but she just never takes that next step to, you know, do something about it. And I think that that's also where I get frustrated because, you know, she'll say, well, let's go start going to the gym and let's start meal prepping and things like that. But then when it comes down to it, she doesn't do it.
Maybe she's just not ready. Took me 47 years to get there. Seriously, took me 47 years to get ready.
Well, I mean, I'm in the same boat, obviously. And I think, I mean, obviously I struggle too, because I've been through this my whole entire life and I don't want her to have the same life. I don't want her to be, you know, 45 like me and also still be trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's a lot.
The worst that can happen is that she does at 45, and then you can be proud of her. You can be super proud of her for figuring it out then, but you can also be proud of her for the first 45 years as she showed up for herself. You know, just because I was overweight for 47 years doesn't mean I wasn't really good at my job, a great mom, you know, had great kids, you know, all that stuff. I was a good wife. It doesn't mean I wasn't any of those things.
Right.
I was just overweight because I hadn't figured that part of my life out yet.
I get it.
Yeah, you really have to. You are probably just super aware right now of what she could be doing because you are learning of what you are doing for yourself.
That's a good point.
So just focus back on you and be an example of what's possible.
Okay.
And leave her to make her decisions.
Okay.
And love her enough to drop your manual, drop your Chilton's manual.
I'm going to test it today, so we shall see. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. I hope that helped.
It did. Thank you.
Okay, see you.
Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Michael Carper. Hello. Oh, wait a minute. I can't hear you. I have unmuted you. Is there something you can do on your end? I still can't hear you. Oh, turned off your video. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you back down to attendee. I want you to go out of Zoom and come back in, and I'll take you after the next, and raise your hand again, and I'll take you after the next person, okay? I'm making a note here. All right. Vicky, Let's try you.
You hear me?
Hey,
you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Woohoo! I was like, I'm doing well, thank you. I'm like so glad there was coaching going on.
Oh, what's up?
All right, help me change my thoughts because I know that's all I have control over.
You have control over your feelings and your actions as well.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking about?
So it's my mother. Mm-hmm. So I've been journaling. And so I'm taking imperfect action here. And it was really good. The last person, I already forgot her name, was on there. She's dealing with her daughter, mm-hmm. getting excited about when she's like, yeah, let's do meal planning. Let's do that. With my mother, it's, you know, other things like she knows there's a lot of issues and her behavior. And then I'll get excited because she's like, yeah, I should go to therapy. This is going to make me feel better. I'm like, oh yeah. Okay, great. And I kind of get sucked in. She's 78. And the bottom line I wrote down, remember, she's probably not going to figure it out. So I spent 4 days with her on a trip. So I think I felt like I overdid it with my exposure and I ran out of coping skills.
What if she thinks she's figured it out and you think she hasn't?
That could be true.
It's just, I mean, this is a lot like you said, it's a lot like Trina.
Right.
What if she's just happy as a clam and you've got, you know, you've got this Chilton's manual.
Right.
This Chilton's, 1977 right. Chilton's car manual for her.
Right. And typically,
of all these things you think she should be doing.
Right. So typically, I've been very good at, I came up with the quote of, well, that's just my mother being my mother. And I just kind of let her go on her way. And it's, our dance has changed over the last year or so that I'm not such the people pleaser that I was. And so it's weird for her that she's dating again. And I'm like, okay. She's like, you're not very happy about that. I'm like, well, yeah, that's true. But you know, I love you, but I don't like the behavior. But you know, do what you need to do. And so it's been weird. And I know that I'm changing. So
what's wrong with her dating?
Well, the last, she's been married a lot.
And that's her. That's all.
Yeah. Except
you're judging her.
I am judging her because there's been a lot of cleanup. So,
okay.
That it has affected the family. So I just feel like, you know, she's going to date. She's probably going to get married. Mm-hmm. How do I set a boundary for myself? So, you know, that's what I've been able to do is like, yes, date, go on a cruise, you know, but I don't have to love it.
A boundary is set because you are being emotionally wronged, emotionally or physically threatened.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. What you're doing is basically saying, I don't agree with you, so I'm out. I don't know if that's a boundary or if that's just what you've decided. That's just your decision.
So the last guy was physically inappropriate with me.
Okay.
So
that's where you set a boundary with him.
I did set a boundary with him. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I did set a boundary with him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm open to figuring my thoughts out. Yeah.
Yeah. You have a pretty steep manual for your mom.
Yes.
How she should act, who she should see, what she should do, what she shouldn't do, who, you know, what therapist, you know, she ought to entertain or whatever. You know, she's
78. Yeah.
78. She's made it to 78 and she's okay. I bet she can continue to make decisions for herself without running them by you, right? Unless she is mental and, you know, has some mental incapacity.
She runs them by us, though, and wants our approval.
Okay. Do you give her your approval or do you tell her what you think?
I have up until this last divorce.
Okay. How did she react when you told her, when you tell her you don't approve?
Well, I said, I don't like the behavior, but I love you and mm-hmm. you should do, mm-hmm. you know, what you feel like you need to do.
Right.
And I just can't get on board.
And she did what she wanted to do anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's I knew she point. Would. Yeah. 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 Which
so
was
maybe
fine.
She's not looking for your approval. Maybe she's just telling you what her plan is.
Okay.
Well, she really don't have any input.
Yeah, well, she did ask me when they were going on the cruise, don't you want to meet him? You know, like before I go on the cruise. And I'm like, no, not really, you know, but go ahead and go on the cruise. None of my siblings wanted to meet him either. Okay. So, but none of them would say, yeah, yeah, yeah. But none of them would say, have the direct conversation of like, no, I'm not interested in meeting him because you are going to date and marry who you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So yeah. Why are you upset about all this?
Well, so I guess it's in general, the behavior, how can I get out of, the thought, right, that I wish she would have different behavior, but she's not going to. That's my manual. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So so funny when I watch other people, like, oh yeah, that's so clear. I can't, I'm stuck. I feel stuck. Mm-hmm.
Drop your manual?
Yeah. Yeah. Help.
How do you drop? Yes. You just do. You just catch yourself thinking she should, and you go, no, wait, that's up to her.
Yes.
You just start talking back. You start having that conversation.
Okay.
In your head. You start listening to that voice on your shoulder that says, Vicky, that's your manual again.
Okay.
Mom is going to do what mom's going to do. As long as mom can make decisions on her own, you need to just let her, because she's living life and she's probably happy. Even if she's been married, you know, however many times, if she's happy, why does it matter? It's just like Trina. If she's happy, why does it matter what she weighs?
Mm-hmm.
Why does it matter whether your mom goes on a cruise with the guy? Why wouldn't you want to meet him?
I'll meet him at some point, mm-hmm. you know, but I'm not interested in meeting somebody she's dating.
Okay. Is it because you don't approve of her dating?
No, it's not about the dating, but the last three marriages mm-hmm. have all not ended, you know, not ended well.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of cleanup, which I'm now don't want to be a part of the cleanup if there is some. So
okay, and not meeting this next guy relieves you of that responsibility.
No, they're not connected. I don't have to clean up. Also, yeah.
You connected them.
Yeah. Okay. I can see that.
Yeah. What if your mom's just proud of him? I mean, think about it. Do you have kids?
I do have kids.
How about that? Sons or daughters?
Two sons.
Okay. How about that first time your son brought the girlfriend home and said, Mom, I'd like you to meet so-and-so? Were you like, no, I don't want to meet her?
No.
Right? Why?
Just seemed the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. You kind of wanted to know who was in your son's life because you loved him and he was excited.
Yeah. So I guess it's the story about all the marriages and that they seem like very broken people after we got to know them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not the only one. My other two siblings feel the same way.
Yeah. So what if you were to meet him and see something in him that made you uncomfortable? What would you do?
Well, I would, this time I would say something right up front.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What if that's why she wants you to meet him?
If that was why,
Just think about it.
Okay, I'll think about it.
She might want you to meet him because she's excited about the new guy.
Oh, I know she's excited about the new guy.
She wants you to meet him because she knows in the past you've had to help her out of some situations, and maybe she just wants a second set of eyes. Could be numerous reasons.
Yeah.
In the back of her mind, she could be feeling a little unsure as well. You know, if we were at one of my favorite things to do is to do someone else's model.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
If we were to do your mom's model.
Okay.
All right. And her thought, her circumstances, what's this man's name?
I don't even know.
Okay. We'll call him John. Her circumstances. I want Vicky to meet John.
Yeah.
Or I don't guess that's a circumstance. That's a thought. We'll just put John in the circumstance line.
Okay.
The thought is, maybe her thought is, this guy's really special. I want to introduce him to my family. Feeling excited, action, offer, whatever. But what if the thought is, he seems okay, but I'd like a second set of eyes. He seems okay to me. You know, let's see what my family thinks. Right? Could have been what your son was thinking too when he brought the girl home.
Mm.
Right?
I'm trying to think if I brought somebody home, was I looking for approval or?
Oh, absolutely. I guarantee.
Was I?
Okay. I guarantee it. I would challenge anyone out there who would say they weren't at some small portion of them looking for approval from their family when they brought their person home. I remember when I brought Ken home to meet my parents.
Mm-hmm.
He was, I'll never forget it. He was wearing a ball cap. He dipped skull and he had like one of those old jersey baseball shirts on, you know, with the different color sleeves they used to wear in the 80s, right? And he wore his hat at the dinner table.
Oh boy.
And And my parents were not foo-foo, but they had manners, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, Ken didn't eat with his hands or anything.
I got it.
He wore his hat at the table. He spilled his dip cup. I mean, it was just a disaster. Right? And I was going, oh, I love this guy. He's great. And I'm going to marry him. But could you please just take the hat off? Could you please just? And I was like, stop. You know, Ken wears a hat. It's okay. Yeah.
Okay.
You know? So I just want you to think about it in those terms. You know, what could your mother be thinking? And why not, even if it's only, hey, I found a new guy and I really like him, why not share her excitement a little bit? Why not indulge her a little bit with, you know, showing her a little bit of love to say, hey, you know, he's okay, or yeah, I'd like to meet him. And then if you do see something, you can decide whether or not it's important enough to share with her.
Okay. I need to write on this some more. So, cause I guess there's a lot of anger on the last.
Mm-hmm. There is
cleanups.
Just remember, what is it Corinne says? The past.
Yes.
Is your teacher, not your fortune teller. Apply that here. Just because she's had three bad ones doesn't mean this one is bad too.
The past is your teacher.
Not your fortune teller.
Not your fortune teller. Okay, so
I can see this thought in your head going about your mother. Oh, here we go again. Here's another.
Exactly.
Right. But it's just a thought.
Absolutely.
It's a thought you're trying really hard to prove true. And
yes.
In doing so, you are judging her.
Right. And I don't want to. That's why, like, I know I can change regardless of that or whatever. I know I can change. So, you know, God, wouldn't I love it if he was like amazing and there was no drama. Yeah, it would be fantastic.
but you're not even allowing that to be an option at this
point. Yeah, right.
You've already decided, well, here we go again.
Right. No, you're right. And I don't like the way I feel. That's why I want to work on it, because I'm the one that's, you know, I can deal with changing this. So, how, how could, so what could I, what's like a basic step? Like, I know this is so easy. People are going, why doesn't she get this?
I want you to write down
every
single judgment you have about your mother, every single one of them.
Okay.
Every rule you have for her that she's not following, why she's not following. I want you to thought download all of that stuff.
Okay.
And then I want you to read it with a critical eye that says, is this really what I want to think about my mother? Is this really the expectation I want to hold her to? And the way you know if it's an expectation you want to hold her to is if you want to read that list to her and say, this is what I expect out of you, mama.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Just be real clear about all that. And then take a second look at it with compassion and say, is this really the expectation I need to have for my mother? Can I drop this one?
Right. No, I want to be compassionate.
Yeah.
I do. I really do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Got some work. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you.
Okay. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's see if Michael is back. Good. Michael, you're up now. Oh, wait a minute. I clicked too many times.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Didn't touch anything, right?
Yeah, I know. It's off. Okay.
Thank you for fixing that.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks. Uh-huh. So I'm not, this is a hard one. I joined a accountability group and I've been having a hard time this week, like emotionally. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to go see my therapist on Thursday and she ended up canceling on me. So my Marco Polo group was like, oh, you know, get on a coaching call. So I've been working through the food and feelings workbook.
Okay.
And I'm also reading another like self-help book for my therapist.
Okay.
And I can't get through a page without bawling. And I've just been overeating and eating off plan. Not that that's new necessarily. I do that a lot. Okay. It's one of those things I just can't seem to get right.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly what I'm expecting from this call. Just really, really emotional right now, obviously. So just feel embarrassed.
Why are you embarrassed?
I guess when I read the book, the books, I feel broken.
Okay.
Like I haven't grown up. I don't know how to deal with my feelings. Obviously, that is why I have some weight issues, because I'm trying to deal with them by burying them under food.
Right. So what you're not doing is feeling your feelings. And what's happening as you read that book is it is showing you what you're really feeling rather than, you know, and when you're reading, you're not burying, you're not eating. Right?
Yeah.
So you are actually feeling your feelings. Okay. And you're feeling a lot of, you know, you're feeling embarrassment. You're feeling broken. What if you're not broken? Okay.
That'd be great. I'll
offer you this because when you say I'm broken, that's a thought. It's not a fact. You look pretty whole to me. Okay. You got, you know, your arms are working, your head's on your shoulders and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So what if you're just learning that feelings, that you feel feelings rather than eat them?
Okay.
And what you've done for all this time is you stuff the feelings down and now you are actually emoting. Okay. Mm-hmm. And part of this emoting for you is crying. So one of the things I heard that was so fascinating the past couple of weeks was my husband, you know, my husband teaches yoga. I don't know if you know that or not. He stopped on a PBS show that had Deepak Chopra on it, who is this yoga meditation guru. Okay. And he said the most interesting thing. He said, you know, feelings are your body's biological response to a thought. Okay.
Okay.
So what that means is you have a thought, let's say it's I'm broken, and you feel that thought in your body with this biological response that we call emotion. You cry, your heart flutters, your stomach feels like it has a bowling ball in it, your head hurts, you know, whatever it is that you feel when you feel broken.
Okay.
That's all it is. You know, it's not like somebody's going to come and, you know, take your legs out from under you. It's not, you know, something terrible isn't going to happen because you are emoting, because you're crying, because you're feeling a feeling. That's all it is. It stops there. Right?
Yeah.
So what you've been doing is avoiding this biological response. And I love that term because it's so unemotional. Right? You know, yeah. I've heard a feeling called a vibration in your body. Mm-hmm. And I can't really understand that a vibration makes me think of that little thing that goes nee, 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 nee. Like, I don't even know what that is. Right. You know what I'm talking about? That little line that kind of shakes. Uh-huh. But when he said this biological response, I thought that's it. That's, you know, and that it took it back to science and back to something that I could really wrap my arms around. So I have this mm-hmm. thought that creates a feeling. And the feeling is just how my body feels, the physical part of the thought, how my body feels when I think that thought. So let's think about happy. Okay, when you're happy, how does your body respond?
I kind of feel lighter. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm smiling, you know, I can feel... Mm-hmm. Myself smiling.
Your posture might be better. You might lift your chin a little bit more.
Yeah.
You have some thought clarity when you're happy. You're not all muddy in your thoughts.
Yeah.
Your stomach doesn't hurt. You know, that everything, you feel more open. Your chest mm-hmm. feels open. You can take a deep breath. Whereas when you're crying, you're hunched over and it's hard to catch a breath. And see, there's all kinds of physical things that happen when you are feeling an emotion.
Yeah.
So you've seen both sides of it now. So that's what I really think is happening as you're reading these books,
okay.
is that instead of eating to keep the emotion at bay, you're reading and you're internalizing and you're feeling. And I think the more you do that, the easier it would be to accept that that's okay and that it won't hurt you.
Well, I hope so, because I'm getting kind of tired of being, I never think of myself as an emotional person. Like that's I would cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like once a month. And now it's like every night I'm crying myself to sleep.
Uh-huh. It's because you're feeling now. So this unemotional person,
right?
Why is she unemotional? Because she's afraid to feel?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think it's just like the books are kind of saying you're taught not to necessarily appreciate the hard feelings or like fear and anger. You know, I guess I feel like I was taught at a young age not to feel those things or that mm-hmm. those were bad and should be happy.
Yeah. You probably were taught. We were all taught that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's how we all grew up. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, you're sad. Here's an ice cream cone.
Yeah.
That's what my mother did, right? Oh, let me bake some cookies. That'll make you feel better.
Yeah.
So basically we were taught to eat instead of feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Now what we're learning is we can feel bad and the world doesn't come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to carry the feel bad around on our hips anymore. Feeling bad is part of being human.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, my life is not rainbows and daisies all the time. I cry too. I emote. And I used to be so embarrassed because I cry all the time. I don't care who just won the gold medal at the Olympics. If I'm watching a medal ceremony, I'm boohooing. I don't care if it's, you know, I don't care who it is. It doesn't even have to be an American. It can be anybody. I cry at TV shows. I can't even remember. Dancing with the Stars makes me cry. What is that, right? So I think it's just accepting that it's okay to emote.
Okay.
And to feel the feelings. Because here's the other thing. Here's the other great thing about a feeling. It comes on really strong and hard, like a wave crashing on the shore. And then it recedes. So you can think about the last time you cried. Okay, not on this call, but the last time you cried, okay? Yeah. Last time you cried yourself to sleep. Mm-hmm. Racking sobs, very emotional, right?
Yeah.
Did you stop crying?
Sorry.
Did you stop?
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what feelings do. They come on like that. They come on with, you know, racking sobs or intense feeling, and then they recede, and then it's over. So it's like a wave on the ocean. You know, just think about it that way.
Okay.
What feelings do too.
All right.
I think it's personally, my opinion is that it's a beautiful thing that you're learning to feel. Okay. And every time you say, I must be broken because I can't stop crying, I want you to answer that with, I'm not broken. I'm learning how to feel. I'm learning it's okay to feel these things. And it'll be over soon, and I can handle it.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. I think you're doing good work. If you're reading these books and really doing self-examination, that's good work. Don't get stuck in I'm broken. Because okay. I'm going to tell you, if I were to read the Feel It Food and Feel, I have it up on my shelf. If I were to read that book again, I'm sure. Go to the procrastination and confusion chapters, and they have my name all the way through them. So if you're broken, then I am too. And I just don't believe that I am. Do I have work? Absolutely. We all have work. Okay. But that's what we do every day to find the best versions of ourselves.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. You're welcome. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. The book is called The Food and Feelings Workbook. I can see it on my shelf up there. The last name of the author is Koenig, and it is in Corinne's Kit Store, which is kit.com/fitandfat, so it'll be easy for you to find. Cindy, you're next. Hello, Cindy.
Hello. Are you there?
I think I raised my hand accidentally, but it was good to see you, Kathy.
Well, it's good to see you, except I can't see you. You're not on video. If you don't need to be coached, I'm going to go to the next person.
No.
Oh, hi.
Hi. I do want to say I really resonated with the caller about her mom. I have a challenging mom, so that was a really, or my response to her is challenging. So I appreciate
your thought about her is that she is challenging.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not just my opinion. Anyways, thanks so much for everything that you do. I appreciate it. Okay.
You're very welcome. See you soon. Okay. Bye-bye. Laura, it's your turn. Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Are y'all moved in?
About halfway.
Your cat is so cute. She's just like a little bitty thing, right? Just a little kitten.
No, she's like 12 and the boy is 10, but they're,
oh, wow. they're very small.
They're taking a lot of time in my life, which is good. And kind of what Lee has, encouraged me to talk to you about.
Okay.
All right.
I love how you and Lee tell each other to get on off the show.
Okay. So I guess I always talk about work, but I have been kind of deferring the rest of life until I moved because I figure there's no point in trying to date when I'm going to leave in a month, right? And so now, you know, like I did a research year last year, and so I had all this, like I could make my schedule. And so at the beginning of the year, I read an article where this lady had gone on 100 blind dates or 100 online dates. Mm-hmm. And so I went out with probably 20 people, and they were all perfectly nice, just no sparks really with anybody. Mm-hmm. And so I think my thought error now is that I have the time, but I don't really have, like, I feel very comfortable with myself and I don't feel like I'm missing anything in my life. And so my old way of feeling when I wanted to date more was that, you know, oh, well, maybe if I find the right guy, then I'll have, you know, a life that makes me happy. And with doing all of this PNP work, like, I'm still not at the goal weight that I'd want to be in my life, but like, I don't feel that that would hold me. Like, I'm not afraid of the way I look to go date. I'm not afraid of, you know, what I think and whether I would be interesting to the right person. You know, I just don't feel like it's something that I'm missing right now. And the only reason that I am even kind of still thinking about it is because I'm 34. And so I don't, when I think about my future self in weight loss, I know that she wouldn't be mad at me for taking whatever time it takes to get this right for the weight loss. But with dating, I don't want to put myself in a position where I miss out on parts of life that in the future when it's too late, you know, to do, I'd be mad at myself for having not taken the time for.
Okay. Yeah. You talked your way all the way around in a circle. Did you know that? You went all the way around in a circle. Hey, I'm fine with not dating, but I'm afraid I'm missing out. So I better date. It's basically.
Well, yeah. I mean, like that's the reason that I can put for why would I even bother with it right now? Mm-hmm. Which doesn't feel like a great enough reason. I mean, I think if I just met someone organically, that would be great. But, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, nowadays, I think, you know, I don't know that's never happened to me. I've never like met someone at the grocery store. You know what I mean? I don't know how people used to do it, but, so I don't know. And I'm not going to like go sit at a bar by myself. Cause that's not really the kind of person that I want to attract necessarily, but you know what I mean? I don't know. So I don't know if I'm talking myself into something or out of something. And I don't want to waste mental energy on it basically. So I feel very justified in just kind of focusing on PNP and myself and getting settled and move. One of my other accountability partners has lived where I moved to. And so she's like, oh, it's great. There's there's the most PhDs in the country or something. And so, you know, that's your chance. And so I don't want to miss my chance, I guess, is the other thing.
Okay.
Okay. I'll stop talking now.
Well, ultimately, what result do you want? Ultimately, if you could script it, what would your result be?
Kind of like my life, you know. Okay. But I don't.
So, what does this life look like that you like? Just tell me everything. Okay. Like, all right, we're going to do a verbal thought download. All right. Is Laura's, what life do you want to create for yourself? Just give it all to me.
You mean like, what would my day look like? Or I mean,
just what is your, all right. So I'll do mine. Okay. Yeah. So the life I want to create for myself is a life where I help people. I'm a mm-hmm. really good coach.
Okay.
I'm a great wife. I live in a one-story house, which I don't right now. I have a super cool car, which I don't right now. You know, I have, you know.
Okay.
So this is the life that I want to create for myself. I work, you know, I don't know, 30, 40 hours a week. I make really good money. I help people. I have private clients. I coach groups. I learn something every day. This is the life I want to create for myself. So what is the life you want to create for yourself?
Okay. Well, so yeah, the work part of that, I want to find the right patients, do good surgery on them, you know, help them feel better. You know, I want to move thought forward in our research world of spine and contribute to that. I want to be respected as a thought leader in surgery. I want to have a healthy body that doesn't prohibit me from getting to do surgery long into my 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. I want to have a healthy relationship with food, which I think I'm more on the road to have. I mean, like I'm further along than I would have thought I would ever be. Mm-hmm. I want to have interesting friends. I want to travel to see my friends and family. I am a good cat mom. Mm-hmm. I like having pets. I like taking care of them. Mm-hmm. I can see the house that I want. I have, you know, the Pinterest boards of all the different things you want in your life. Right. Mm-hmm. But I wish I had a relationship, or I wish I had, you know, a marriage with two kids. And it just seems like those are things that are out of my control, I guess, in a way. And I don't know.
But they're not.
Right. I know.
Right.
Yeah.
That's probably where the sticky part is here. As I listen to you is you want somebody to lay it out for you. This is how you do this. And this is what your result is going to be. All you have to do is take these steps.
Right.
Right. Do you see yourself married one day? Are you open to that? Or is it like, I don't really care. I'd just soon, you know, be this super fantastic neurosurgeon that, you know.
I don't want this to come out the wrong way, but I see everyone's relationship stuff in the group and I'm like.
Well, let me just tell you something. Yeah. It's just like anything else. Nobody talks about the great things. Everybody's got a problem, right?
That's totally fair. And I did, you know, I mean, there were some of the husbands at the race. One of them put a really beautiful, like, ode to his wife and PNP and everything. Like, I totally see that.
Right.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I feel kind of neutral about it. Like, if I met the right person, I feel like it would be something I'd be open to. But it's not something I feel like the need to actively pursue right now, which...
Then you may have just answered your own question.
Okay.
Right? I mean, seriously. If that's... Right. You said a couple of minutes ago that if it happened organically, that's fine. But you didn't say, you know, I need to go on these speed dates because I want to meet as many people as I can at, you know, one time and pick my guy and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You didn't go there.
No.
So, you know, whatever it is you decide is your decision. You get to pick, and it doesn't matter how old you are. You know, you can be a cat mom for the next 60 years.
Well,
right?
I know that. Yeah, for sure.
Right.
And I could be a mom. I would be happy with foster kids or adopting, or like, if that's something I eventually want, I don't want it right now. Like, I don't want it. My friends are all having babies. I don't want to deal with the crying. One of my accountability partner has a toddler. No, thank you. Like, once we have the funds to have a nanny, that would be great. I need to be able to get away at times. Like, I can't go do surgery if I'm up all night with someone with diarrhea, right? Like, infrastructure in place needs to all be a part of my life, and that's where I'm at right now.
I appreciate that about you. I wouldn't want you doing surgery on me if you had been up with a toddler all night, especially, you know, if you're working on my spinal cord somewhere or my brain or whatever neuroscience surgeons work on, all that stuff.
Yep.
So.
Okay, good. Well, thanks. I didn't know. I felt like I had come to that decision for right now. And I don't know. I mean, they've given me a lot to yell on, so I'll work on it some more.
I think you were judging the decision. Yeah. Right or wrong.
Yep.
And it's just, you know, what is it? We always say there are no wrong decisions. In fact, I heard my husband telling somebody this last night. If you think about the fact, if you accept that there are no wrong decisions, that there, you have a decision point that's either this way or that way. This way might get you closer to your goal faster. This way is still a good decision because it tells you this is not the right way, that you should go that way.
Yeah.
Right? So there's no wrong decisions. You get to...
We talk about that all the time in medicine too. It's the only decision is no decision, because then you don't get any feedback. You're just kind of aimlessly floating.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, so, I'm going to decide to not focus on dating right now and just get settled in. And then I can make another decision next month.
Exactly. You can make a different decision tomorrow, right? If organically something happens. Yeah. This has been the most fun coaching call ever, because I didn't have to coach. I mean, it was just seriously just listening to you and telling you what you said.
Okay.
So I guess
I just figured maybe you would, you know, maybe you should try like the half marathon, and then I'd be like, oh, well, Kathy says I should do it. So maybe I'll give it a shot.
It's so funny that you say that, because I don't know that I told you you should do the half marathon.
You said if that's what you think you're capable of.
Right. I told you you could decide whether or not to do the half marathon. Yeah.
Right.
Isn't that funny?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that I'm telling you this, you can decide whether or not to date.
Okay.
today it might be a no. Tomorrow you might see somebody over, you know.
Well, I'm going to the grocery store. Like,
that's right. Hang out at the produce. No, you never know what'll happen, right?
All right. Thanks, Kathy.
All right. See ya. Bye. Bye. She's so funny. Heather, you're next. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I was in here chatting and asking you questions, and I thought, I might actually be able to get in if I raise my hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, it's funny. I'll just go ahead and tell everyone. We're only a little over an hour in, and there's only one other hand raised. So if you're here to get coached, hop on.
Today's the day.
Today's the day.
You know, I used to listen to you and Corinne before I joined the tribe in the podcast, because I'm a podcast listener, and and I would listen to you, and I'm a very, like, you just have to tell me like it is. I love accountability. Mm-hmm. Tell me this, you know, stop doing something a certain way or do, you know, and you're so gentle, you know, and you bring in the gentleness in the podcast, and then,
well, you know,
Corinne brings in the no bullshit.
Yeah.
And so when I started watching your coaching calls, I was like, man, she's really good. I mean, this, I've been self-helping for many years. I just turned 50 this year. And Kathy, you and Betsy and Corinne, I mean, just amazing. So I'm an April baby, and I'm excited to be a part of this, and just learning so much more about myself. It's like, it's just been an amazing journey. So
that's what it's all about.
So much for all the work that you do.
You're welcome. It's about knowing yourself. It's about knowing your patterns and your habits and your thoughts and your feelings. You know, I love that Michael is crying so much right now. You know, you probably saw her call. You know, she's really, really starting to learn about herself. And, you know, that's the work that we should all do every day. You know, rather than being reactive and the victim to what's going on around us, reacting to everything, if we can get intentional and direct ourselves and direct our thoughts, it just changes the whole world for us.
I always thought I was so self-evolved. I was raised by hippies, and we were always like trying to be in touch with our feelings. But the feelings were like, you know, so many highs and so many lows, and breaking it down in the model just really overwhelms me, but I know it's going to help in the long run. Mm-hmm. So on that note,
why does the model overwhelm you?
I think because okay, so let me back up to what my question is going to be, and this will probably be related to the model.
Okay.
In my accountability group, I have several, because I like to do it all. We're like, you need to get a coaching call. And I'm like, well, I think I'm going to do some research this weekend on TDLs and modeling. And I've listened to No BS. So I was somebody that grew up in therapy and journaling. Mm-hmm. I've spent many years in Al-Anon, growing up in a family of alcoholics. Mm-hmm. Have a daughter, an older daughter, that's bipolar, and just dealt with a lot of dysfunction in my life. So I did a lot of journaling. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is the key, but something that came up for me this week is I had a friend 6 years ago that died, and a bunch of us girlfriends were just kind of rallying around her as she was, we knew she was dying, but like unexpectedly ended up in the hospital. And she was divorced, has gone through a divorce, and they were like, go in the house and get the journals. And this light bulb went off in my head and went, oh my God, my journals. What if something happened to me? I don't want anybody reading that stuff. all of that crazy teen angst and relationships. And so I burned all my journals. About a year after she died, I think, maybe 6 months after she died. And I cannot, I have done a TDL, maybe just one, maybe two. I'm a note taker, so I take lots of notes when I'm listening to podcasts and to Zooms and lives. But I have some kind of mental block on doing thought downloads that they're going to even help me.
Okay, so what's the difference between writing in your journal and doing a thought download?
I'm writing down your wisdom to reference later.
Oh, you're taking notes into your journal. You're not actually writing your own thoughts in your journal.
Correct.
Okay. Why not? If I were to tell you, you could lose 50 pounds and all you have to do, all you have to do is write in your journal, would you do it?
Yes.
Okay. All you have to do, Heather, is get to know yourself a little bit and see your patterns so that you can, you know, up-level them or change them or whatever, and you lose 50 pounds.
Okay, so if I'm doing these, if I'm doing these, am I going back and rereading them to myself?
Sometimes I read them.
You do?
Yeah, I do, especially the good ones.
And then what do? You pull a model from that?
Absolutely. I find the crazy thought. And I show myself, I really do show myself, if I continue to think this thought, this is the result I'm going to create. Mm. Give you an example. Have you been on this call the whole time?
I came in at about 12:30.
Okay. So at the beginning of the call, my poison thought is I'm not good enough.
Oh, totally my thought. Okay. Absolutely.
So if I think I'm not good enough, that feeling is inadequate. And when I feel inadequate, my actions are to half-ass my work, to give myself excuses, to procrastinate, or just to do nothing. And when you do those actions, the result you create is that you're not good enough. You're not working hard enough. You're not doing enough.
A self-fulfilling prophecy, really.
Exactly. Because the result always reflects the thought. Okay?
Okay.
So that's why I take that thought and I put it in that model, because I don't want that result. So then I go back to the thought and I say, okay, is this really true? Or is this just what I tell myself in a weak moment when I'm feeling bad about myself, when I make a mistake, when I don't want to do something? Is this just an excuse I give myself? Right? So the model, the purpose of the model is to show you how your thoughts create your results. And they do that by going through the feeling into the action, into the result. It really is an amazing, beautiful, logical tool.
I've seen you guys work it out with people and I'm amazed.
Yeah. So if I go back to my I'm not good enough model, and I put in the thought line, I am absolutely good enough.
Is that this intentional versus unintentional?
Yes, yes. That the unintentional model is what's going on right now that you don't like.
Okay.
The intentional model is the model that you want to create. So if I decide I'm going to adopt the thought, I am absolutely good enough, and the feeling then becomes confident or empowered. And when I feel those, I work really hard. I show up every day. My posture is good. My thoughts are well put together. I communicate well. I do all these things, right? And my result then is that I showed up my best. because I am absolutely good enough. So that's all the model is. It just shows you how the thoughts in your mind create the results of your life. It really, really is an amazing tool.
Well, that helps me a lot.
Yeah. Now, you have to find the thoughts to put in your model by doing a thought download.
Okay.
I promise you, you have sneaky thoughts. You have the ones that are really close to the surface.
Yes.
And then you have the ones that are buried down deep underneath that you don't even know are in there, that are like, we used to call them toddlers with butcher knives running around in your brain.
Oh my gosh. Right?
Creating so all true. Kinds yes. of havoc in your brain. You don't mm-hmm. find those unless you thought down.
Okay. So using the journal prompts?
Yeah. It's a good way to start. If you don't know what
every
to
day?
Thought. Yeah. If you don't know what to thought download, I'd certainly pull a journal prompt. The self-love workbook has a ton of them. Gosh, most of any of the workbooks that she's done has good journal prompts. I can tell you one of my favorite things to do when I don't have a workbook right there to tell me what a journal prompt is, I will ask myself, what am I feeling right now? Okay.
I live in a lot of overwhelm.
All right. So you'll say, okay, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Then you say, why am I overwhelmed? And you write, and you write, and you write, and you write, and you write.
Okay.
It's super easy for most of us to figure out what we're feeling. Broken, sad, happy, upset, angry. You know, it's really easy for us to get in touch with those feelings. And if you ask yourself why you're feeling mm-hmm. that way, then you've got a beautiful journal prompt that goes with you everywhere.
Okay, I'm writing this down. What am I feeling and why am I feeling that way?
Mm-hmm. Identify your feeling, then ask yourself why.
Okay.
You got it?
I got it. I knew this is what I needed because I was just going to probably continue to spin with the toddler in my brain.
Well, what's so interesting is that you burned all those journals because they were journals filled with what you were actually thinking on that day.
Yeah.
Right? The deep, dark, actual thinking that you were doing that day. I say dark, you know, dark meaning.
It was a little dark when I was a teenager.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, it could be the deep light. You probably journaled all kinds of happy too, which is super important. You have to journal the happy too because your brain likes to see that. You need to show your brain that there's happy that goes on in the world as well. You're not just always trying to fix things. Some days you just have a good day and you want to write about how great your day was and how loved you felt and all the good things that happened. Your brain needs to see that stuff too. On those days, you probably only have an intentional model, and that's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Sound good?
Yes.
All right. Got anything else? You're welcome.
Not yet, but I will hit you back if I do. I'm not scared.
All right. Hit me up.
All right.
See ya.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Tammy Lee, you're up. Then Michelle. I'm trying to unmute you. I'm clicking and it won't let me unmute you. There we go. Got it.
There we are. Okay.
Hi.
Hi, Kathy. I'm actually shocked that I'm talking to you after listening to you for so long.
Oh.
I don't know. I just never thought I would actually call or get coached. So I have been listening to you and Corinne for 6 months prior. I was a groupie and I binged everything I could listen to. And I did okay. I would lose like 7 pounds and then I would gain it back. And then I'd lose 7 pounds and I'd gain it back. And so I decided that I really needed to join the tribe. I really thought that that what you were saying made sense, what both of you said made sense, and that I could do this, you know. As everyone else, I've tried everything.
That's exactly why I joined the tribe.
exactly.
Right.
So anyway, I'm a June baby. I've been going for three weeks now, right? And I did fairly well the first week, lost 3 pounds. The next week I maintained it. And then this last week I've gained back 4. Okay. And so I feel like that I understand everything. I do my 48-hour, you know, the plans. I've gotten much, much better drinking my water. I sleep. I struggle a little with the 2 to 2, but I'm good at getting hungry. And then I struggle a little bit with when to stop, but I try to leave some food behind. I guess I'm at the point where I feel like I'm sabotaging myself somehow. I don't know exactly how I do it.
So then why bring that up? Why do you think you might be sabotaging yourself?
This should work. I understand how it can work. I understand, you know, that, I should be able to make it work.
Okay.
So,
all right. So the last week, right? How many 24-hour plans did you execute 100%?
That's a good question. I did fairly well, other than if I gave myself a dessert, if I substituted with a wine, I told myself it was okay.
Okay. So that's going off plan. That's giving yourself that is self-sabotage. Yes. You gave yourself an excuse to go off plan.
Okay.
Okay. What else?
And I probably did that quite a bit this week. Now that I think about it,
yeah.
I probably said, well, I had this, so I can have that.
Mm-hmm. So let me tell you, that's okay to do if you're substituting carrots for broccoli. Okay, but what you were doing is planning one exception food and deciding to have another one. And when you give yourself that excuse, when you open that door, you know, if you planned one glass of wine and you said, well, I'll have this big piece of cake instead, then, you know, that's not a level up trade, right? So,
okay.
Which is, with exceptions, you want to plan exactly what you're going to have and put it on your plan, and you have that or nothing when it comes to the exception. Okay.
And then I was never big on having desserts every night. And I think I've gotten into a habit of planning them because I'm afraid not to have them.
Okay. So why, if you weren't having desserts, why are you planning them now?
I think it is the fear that I'll want it and then I can't have it.
Okay. What's the worst that can happen if you don't plan dessert and decide you can't have it because it's not on the plan? What's the worst that can happen?
That I'll eat it and I'll be off plan.
Mm-hmm. Or you'll say, I'm just going to sit here and be uncomfortable and plan it tomorrow.
right? So okay. If it's not on the plan, you either eat it off plan or you get a little uncomfortable and you decide, I'm not having dessert today because it's not on the plan. If you eat it off plan, you have to do a recovery worksheet and you're probably going to pay the currency on the scale. So in that moment when you're deciding whether or not to have dessert when it's not on the plan, that's the conversation that needs to happen in your head. I either feel a little uncomfortable or I eat your recovery worksheet and wait for it to see what the scale says. Make sense?
Okay.
If you are every night dessert eater, then putting it on the plan is realistic. But if you are not necessarily a dessert eater and you're putting it on the plan anyway, you're giving yourself a reason to eat dessert rather than saying, oh, wait, dessert's on the plan? That's great. I'm not going to have any tonight. You got a little bit of a thought error going on there. It's like you've given yourself permission to have dessert when you wouldn't have dessert anyway. Right?
Yes. Yes, you're right. That's exactly what I'm doing. I shouldn't. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just writing it real quick.
It's okay. I'm writing it too.
Okay.
So here's what I would do.
Okay.
I would practice like every other day planning dessert. And I would get really curious about how you react on the days, what thoughts go on in your mind on the days that you don't have desserts planned, and what thoughts go on in your mind when you do have desserts planned. You know, is your brain on the day you have dessert planned, is your brain sitting there going, oh yeah, look at us, we get dessert? Or is it going, maybe we should have dessert because we don't get to have it tomorrow. Maybe we should have dessert because, you know, we don't know when she'll plan it again. Right? Maybe it's those sneaky little thoughts that are the ones that are coming in there and you're paying attention to them rather than answering them back with, I don't know why I plan dessert. I never eat dessert. Plan dessert just to see what kind of crazy you guys come up with. Right?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
So this
I'll start there and I'll work on it.
This is what happens when you have a gain during the week, is you go back and you really look at the last 7 days plans and assessments. So I don't know. I asked you how well you executed your plans and you kind of got a little wishy-washy on me. Are you doing your assessments?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Because this is where that tool becomes super useful to you. You didn't have a 4-pound gain. You know, because you had a 4-pound gain doesn't mean you're failing the program. It means you have a week's worth of assessments to look at and figure out, you know, what you should change for next week to get the scale to move the other direction. That's all it means. There's no broken. There's no failure. There is no judgment. It's all, oh, look, there's a little bit of a gain. We need to take a look and see what's, you know, see what's up and see what needs to happen to level up next week. That's all.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Yep. Mm-mm, no.
Okay. See ya. Michelle, you're up.
Hey.
Well, hi. I can't see you.
You can't?
Nope.
Why do we think that is? I can see you.
I can ask to start video.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Can you see me now?
Yes, I can. Hey.
Am I sideways?
You were better for a minute, but you're good now. How are you?
Okay. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Don't walk too far away from your house. You're breaking up.
Oh, all right. Hold on. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Better?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm having a husband issue.
Okay.
So
Uh-oh, you froze on me.
Yeah. Just kind of, I definitely had a manual for him for a long time on his health and him taking care of himself and things like that. And I done a lot of work on that. And I
Michelle, you're breaking up. Actually, you're
frozen. I let go of a lot of judgment. Oh, hold on. Hold on. Let me go back. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah. You're breaking up quite a bit. You got to get closer to the house, I think. And I'm guessing the husband is in the house.
I'm going to the
house. While you're outside.
He is. Oh, he did. Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm. It's better.
Better? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway. So I did a lot of work on the manual that I had for him for a long time. And I feel like I've done really good work on that. Mm-hmm. And we had some conversation last night where he tends to not say some very nice things to me sometimes when he's been drinking. And so I just usually just avoid it and whatever. And even when it happens, I tend to try not to, I don't know, before I would engage in it. And I just kind of walk away. I'm just like, I'm not doing this. But he said some things to me last night that really hurt. And I'm guessing it's because in some part of me thinks they're true. Mm-hmm. Kind of like what you said, like not good enough.
Yeah.
So it was just, you know, like things about the kind of mom I am. He says he doesn't think I have a good relationship with my kids. I think I have a great relationship with my kids, but it's not the same kind he has. Mm-hmm. It's different, and that's okay. Like he thinks he needs to call the kids every single day. I don't feel the need to call them every day. Like I feel like they're in their 20s and they need to separate from us a little bit. But it's different. So therefore in his mind, it's not right. And at one point, and I think this is the one that hurt me the most, was he said that my mom would be embarrassed of the kind of mother that I am. So obviously that's the pain point. Like, mm-hmm. because you know, my mom's not here and I did sometimes wonder, like, would she be proud of me? So anyway, I did a lot of thought work. Most of it didn't bother me because I'm like, these are his thoughts. He completely thinks I know we hear it a lot that the husbands think PNP is a cult, but I mean, he legit like thinks this is crazy. I'm like, you don't have to understand it. You just have to know that it's important to me and I'm working on myself. And like, he truly thinks me working on myself is like a negative thing. Like he says it. I mean, these aren't my thoughts. Like I think it's probably, this is my thought. I think he feels threatened somehow, like by me growing. But the reality is I'm happier than I've ever been in my life, my marriage, all of it. So I wrote him a letter and I did a PDL and I think I'm okay on a lot of it, but I guess where I'm struggling is the thought work part of it. It's like, I think I'm trying to take my feelings and like make them not what they are, like that I have to get out of them. But the reality is I'm allowed to be hurt and angry by the things that he said, mm-hmm. but I guess that's where I'm getting stuck. I don't know where to go from there.
Okay.
Like, I know it's my thoughts and feelings, but my thoughts and feelings are anger and hurt.
Right. No, your feelings are anger and hurt. You're not angry at what he said. Okay. You have to keep telling yourself, I'm not angry at what he said. I'm angry because I have a thought about what he said.
Okay.
The one that really struck you was him saying your mom would be embarrassed.
Yeah.
What thought comes up when he says your mom would be embarrassed? What thought comes up?
The thought is, I think my initial thought is, like, he's right. She wouldn't be proud of me.
Okay. She wouldn't be proud of me.
That's bullshit, but.
Well, but it's not. It's what she said because that's where the tears are.
Yeah.
Right?
And then my other thought is, because, I mean, The reality is I know my mom would be proud of me. She loved me to death. And it's just hard because she's not here to find out. So I guess really what my thought is, you're supposed to love me. Why would you say something like that to me? That's really what my thought is.
Okay.
Like,
so you're saying,
and so I really do still have a manual because my manual is,
you shouldn't say that. Right.
Right.
You shouldn't say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really what it is.
Okay. Well, it's probably some of both. It's probably some of both.
Yeah. I mean, I have the mom stuff going on, but like I can work through that. Like, I know better. That's just that girl thinking. Like,
well, I'm and not you
good
can
enough, good enough thoughts, but
yeah, she's the beautiful thing about thinking about these parents that are gone is that we get to decide what they think because they can't tell us.
Right.
Seriously. I mean, both of my parents are gone, and I often tell Ken, "Do you think my dad would be proud of me?" And then I'll say, "Of course, he would be proud of you. Of course,
He
was proud of you when you were here. He just didn't say it very often." So I get to say all that. I get to believe all that, right?
Yeah.
So you do too. You get to believe all that. You get to.
Yeah, and I do. I mean, and, you know, like.
So that's to me, that's the easy part.
Right. Right. I agree.
Okay. The whole manual for your husband.
Like, I guess the fact that I still I really thought I let it go, and I guess it's just a different manual now, or different pages of the manual.
It's rewrote it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reality is, like, he feels like, he tells me, like, all I do is judge him. I'm like, you're literally judging every word that came out of your mouth was a judgment of me. Like,
you're judging each other.
I guess
you really are. I mean,
judging him on different things now, but
were you at camp in April?
Yeah. Oh, no, not April, January.
Okay. There was a girl that stood up at camp in April, and she has a terrible, that's my thought. She has a lengthy story about what has gone on in her family. And she started by saying, I know I can talk about this here because you won't judge me. And Corinne said, stop right there. We're all going to judge you. We're humans. Everybody here is going to have some opinion about what you say, whether it's good or bad or whatever, because we're humans. We judge. Okay. So knowing that, if you put that, accept that you judge him because you shouldn't say that. He judges you because you should act differently as a mom or whatever.
Yeah.
And you just understand that you're going to do that. You get to decide whether or not your judgments mean anything and his judgments mean anything. Right?
Yeah.
You add into that a layer of he was drinking. And, you know, there's a judgment around that too. Well, he's going to act bad when he drinks. So here we go.
Yeah. Right?
He's going to say things I don't want to hear when he drinks. So here we go. It's going to be a bad day.
Oh, yeah.
You've already set it up. You've already started that model rolling, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do because most of the time I'm right. I mean, unfortunately. Yeah,
you could also have body armor on and not let it land. You can let him say everything he wants to say. And you can be like, clean space. Yeah. I'm good. I know this is how you act.
Right.
I don't have to, the reason it upsets you is because there's a little part in your brain that thinks it might be true.
Yeah. Yeah. That's because I think for 90% of it, I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. Of course these things aren't true. Like, I mean, I'm having that conversation in my head and I feel, you know, okay with that. Like, this is, you know, whatever. These are definitely your thoughts. And, but you know, suffice it to say, he doesn't do any thought work. And if I even say something like that, he's like, don't throw Corinne at me. But yeah, I think it did trigger some underlying, like, you know, because I have had a challenging relationship, especially with my daughter over the years. But it's something that I've, you know, and I continue to work on. And same with, you know, with my marriage. Like, and I guess that's just the ironic part, is I feel like I've grown so much and I'm so different and I've worked on these things and, you know, my marriage hasn't changed, but I look at it differently. And I feel like we're in a good place. And then all of a sudden it's like, are we, you know? And yeah, and it's just kind of bring in, you're right, it brings up things that deep down I have probably need to do work on.
So are you going to stay with him?
Yeah, I mean.
Okay. So if you're going to stay with him, then you need to accept 100% of him.
Right.
Or you're going to fight this battle every time he has a drink or a beer.
Right.
You're going to fight these insecurities every time he opens his mouth. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is the fact that you have grown gives you the tools to make a successful marriage out of this and to not take personally what his opinions are, because he's allowed to have them and he's allowed to say them. He's allowed to get, you know, drunk. He's allowed to be sober. He's allowed to say what he wants under each circumstance.
Yeah.
You're the one who has to be the emotional adult and decide if you're going to let it land and upset you, if you're going to give it truth, if you're going to be reactive to it. Right?
Yeah.
So the fact that you have done this work gives you the tools to manage, you know, the comments that he makes.
Yeah.
What was that? Yeah. You don't like that. You don't like having that responsibility, huh? See, when
I don't mind having that.
When you were an emotional child, you could just be reactive and blame him.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But now that you have all this awareness about how to work your thoughts and how to manage your mind, you have to take some responsibility for your own reactions.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. And your own decisions and your own thoughts.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful.
Yeah, and I guess I'm hurt by the fact that, I don't know, like, I feel like I've grown so much and he doesn't feel that's a good thing. You know what I mean? Like,
why are you hurt by that?
I don't know if hurt's the right word, I guess. I know that's what I said, but I don't know. I just.
Because you have a manual for him that he should grow as much as you do.
No, because I don't think. I think that he
are
is
sure?
very. No, I guess maybe not. Maybe I do feel it. Maybe.
Look at how much I've grown. Haven't you grown too?
No, and he unapologetically is like, I've been this way for my whole life. And, and which is true. It is true. I mean, he has. But that doesn't mean I have to stay the exact same. And I'm okay with it if he stays exactly how he is.
Right.
But I feel like he thinks that I should also.
Oh, well,
and
we don't know what he's thinking.
Well, a lot of it he says, so.
Yeah.
I don't know, but, so what is my model then? If I choose to be hurt or angry, if that is like,
okay,
like he said things and I don't like them,
okay,
and I, for now, I want to choose to be hurt or angry. Like, okay, where do I go with that? That's not sitting in my own shitty diaper. You know, I guess that's where I'm struggling.
That's what you do. You sit in your shitty diaper.
You do.
For a while. Yeah.
Okay.
You
until
feel
you're ready to kind of get out of it.
And you, you, what would Corinne say? Fondle your shitty diaper, right?
Yeah.
You just get
I believe it's like play in the jump in the toilet and play in it or something.
Right. And you let that work its way through. You know, you feel that hurt and that anger until you're done with it.
Okay. I think that's what I was doing wrong. Like I was like, trying to convince myself I shouldn't feel this way. And then I was like, well, wait a minute. We're doing all this work this month on like urges and buffering. It's like, I'm sitting with urges, but I'm not sitting with my feelings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Well, that's what, you know, buffering is. It's not sitting with your feelings.
Right.
You know, an urge is a feeling. Discomfort is a feeling. Right. So one of the things I think is fascinating is to take 3 or 4 days and TDL the same hurt feelings. So you could say, husband said, mom would be embarrassed, or mom would whatever it was he said. And you TDL that. And then tomorrow you TDL the same thing. The next day you TDL the same thing. What happens is your TDLs evolve and the super duper painful thoughts stick around, and the other ones that are just like flybys kind of work their ways out of your TDL.
Okay.
So by about the third or fourth or fifth one, you have the ones that have been consistent the entire time, and those are the thoughts that you really go to work on.
Okay. And that just, those are what I pull into models.
Yes. Yes. Okay. It's fascinating. I did it for the first time not too long ago on something that really hurt my feelings. Yeah. Or a thought I had that really hurt my feelings. Right. And it was very interesting to sit to watch over the course of days how my TDLs evolved into what the real painful thought about myself was. Not about what someone else did to me, but about what I made it mean. So that's the work that you have to do on this, is figure out what you make it mean about you. You know, because what he said, you know, your model could have been, he's full of shit.
Right? Right.
That one doesn't.
Most of it
nice
was.
Job,
it was just a couple hit me. You know,
a couple landed, and those are the ones you TDL because you make them mean something. You have a thought about them more than he shouldn't say that.
Okay.
You have a thought that you've made it mean something about you.
Okay.
That makes sense.
I can do that. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Thank you.
All right. You're very welcome. Thank you. In October.
Of course, the whole Hot Mess Express is coming.
Awesome. You guys are funny.
we're having a girls trip in August to a little Dallas meetup at Leah's new house. So we're pretty excited.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yep. Our clubhouse.
Good. Very good. All right. See you later. All right. Bye. Missy, you're next. Trying to unmute you.
Here we go.
Hey, lady.
You can hear me?
Yep.
All right. Hi.
What's going on?
I had been on a call with Corinne, and we were talking about like future self and things like that. And what we came up with, which was like a big light bulb for me, and you actually alluded to it earlier in the call, is I was doing all the PMP stuff. And I'm doing all the self-help books and all these things because I thought I was broken and needed to fix me. Mm-hmm. Like I wasn't doing it as I'm educating myself and I'm learning and this is awesome. I was doing it like I have to figure out all the things that are wrong with me and fix them.
Okay.
And she was like, okay, right there is your problem. You're not fixing yourself, you know. And one of my things that we have always been, like I've always talked to all of you about is, because I chose not to go to college and chose to be a stay-at-home mom, I've always kind of labeled myself as uneducated, which in some points is true. I don't have a college education. I don't feel like I'm stupid. Mm-hmm. Like I really kind of thought through that. And I don't think I'm stupid because I can learn things. I just haven't had specific things I went and learned. So what I'm having trouble with is Corinne told me to like work on figuring out accepting myself right now and where do I want to go? So like I love doing all the PMP stuff and all the thought work and all those things. But when I go to write like my future, like I don't know what to do with it. I guess I just kind of wanted to come on and say like, give me an assignment. Like,
how do I do this future self work?
Right? Yeah. Because like when I look at the future, I don't know how to do it. You know, I don't know where my kids will be. I don't know, like, I don't know what to focus on. I feel like I'm just kind of, whoa, you know, like, because before it was always easy to focus on, I need to lose weight. That's what I need to improve about myself. I need to lose weight. Like all my life, that has been my focus. I can remember it from elementary school. I can remember it in middle school, high school, all the way through. So once I did that, you know, I'm really proud of myself for doing that, but it's left all this open space. okay, so now what?
If you couldn't be wrong, okay, I think your hang up is you want to predict the future and see what you think is going to be your future self rather than picking, how do I say this? You want to, let's use December 31st. You want to know exactly what December 31st looks like in order to create your future self, rather than saying, what do I want to create for December 31st? You want that certainty to know this is what future self is, rather than, you know, potentially being wrong about what happens on December 31st.
Okay.
Am I explaining that? Okay. It's like saying, if we had a crystal ball, if I had the crystal ball right here, Missy, this is what December 31st looks like. This is your future self. You could go, okay, I got it. I got future self down.
Yes.
The problem is we don't know what it is.
Right.
The problem in your mind is you don't know what your future self is. Therefore, I don't know how to create it. I don't know how to do this work.
Right. Because there's part of me that's thinking, don't waste time on stuff that's never going to be a possibility.
Right.
And because of what you just said.
So you've already decided that your answer could be wrong.
Yes.
So what if it is?
I don't know. That's where I get hung up.
Okay. Let's do this. Let's say on December 31st, Missy's decided she's, her future self is, you're an author, you've written a self-help book, and you've taken a full-time job at a restaurant. That's Missy's future self. Okay? All right. So this is really what you want to work toward. You want to be an author, and you want to take a full-time job in a restaurant. Okay. So you develop your action steps. All right? I apply for jobs. I start writing. I look for a publisher. Da 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 da. Here's my timeline. By December 31st, this is what I'm going to do. Right? Okay. December 31st comes along. You haven't done any of that stuff. You've done all the work, but you're not an accomplished author, and you don't have a full-time job at a restaurant. Well, you tried the job and you hated it, so you quit. Okay?
Okay.
So what happened?
Well, I learned a lot in that time.
Right. Right. You took action. You learned what you like and what you don't like. But you gave yourself a direction to work toward.
Okay.
A direction that you chose that wasn't reliant on anyone else. Okay.
That might be part of my problem because, yes, of course, you know me. That's why I got on. I want to include everybody else that's going to be in my future. Like that day, my kids are doing this with me, or that day, my husband is doing this with me. That's where I get, because I'm trying to figure out what they're going to do, and I don't even know what I'm going to be doing.
Right. And that's because your entire life has been focused on them, and you are just now learning that you have time now and the ability to focus on yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay. So on December 31st this year, what does Missy look like? Is she still the mentor in the groupie group?
Yeah, unless something better comes along.
Okay. You get to decide. I'm still the mentor in the groupie group, or I have worked my way into this job. You get to do that work to make that decision in your future. All right.
Okay.
And then you figure out what the action steps are to move you toward that goal.
Okay.
All right. Are you, let's say, what do you weigh in your future? Do you weigh the same or do you weigh more or less? Plus or minus? You don't have to tell me what you weigh, but you know, I'm down 10 pounds. I'm up 10 pounds. What is it?
I'm down 10 pounds.
You're down 10 pounds on December 31st. What do you have to do between now and then to be down 10 pounds? So you create this Missy on December 31st. I don't necessarily name my future self.
Okay.
But I do tell myself that it's future Kathy. This is who I'll be.
Okay.
Okay. So to give you an example, let me see if I can find mine. I had a hard time with this. When I left my job and I decided I was going to do this full time, I was my future self. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know. I'm like, well, I'm here. I don't know what to do.
I have arrived.
Yep. Right. So it finally hit me that this is on December 31st. This is who my future self will be. And I wrote it down and I keep it at the ready, obviously, because I just called it up.
Yes.
I am a certified high performance coach who weighs in my ideal weight range, who stays on her protocol, exercises routinely, and has great work-life balance that supports her needs and the needs of her family. She works hard, works enough, plays hard, and loves harder without any judgment. This is the person I want to become.
Okay.
Okay? So for you, I would just think about the work that you're doing and the way you see yourself going, and figure out, give yourself a time period. I love December 31st because it's like 6 months. You could do, you know, it might be interesting for you to do August 12th since you're coming to Transformation Weekend.
Yes.
What do you see? Who do you see coming out of Transformation Weekend? What Missy do you see coming out of Transformation Weekend? And what work do you need to do? Think about the future self as your result line. Mm-hmm. And the work you need to do is your action line. What work do you need to do to create that result?
So put my future self in the result line.
Yeah, that's the result line of your model.
So how do you do the circumstance?
Well, you work your model from the bottom up. So if your result line is future Missy with all these definitions, you know, of who future Missy is, and your action line is all these things that you have to do to create future Missy. Okay. You ask yourself, how do I need to feel about to create that action? Mm-hmm. And then what thought do I need to have that creates that feeling? Right? Mm-hmm. And then the C line is, what am I thinking about?
Okay. So just like, I was trying to quickly like do that along that. Mm-hmm. Like if my future Missy is who I want her to be, and my actions are that, like, I'm taking classes to be a better mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling is confident, capable. Mm-hmm. My thought is I can become the person I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Then would my circumstance be something like the class that I'm taking? Or that's where I get tripped up. Like, what would that
No, be? If you're trying to become the person you want to be, your C line is almost your future self.
So it can be right in the C line and the result line.
Yeah, it's like who Missy wants to be, or what was your thought again?
I guess the circumstance could be August 12th.
Yeah, could be. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What was your thought again?
The thought was, now I remember how I worded it, but basically I'm capable to work on becoming the person I want to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe your thought is my work on myself, or your C line is my work on myself. I'm capable of doing this work.
Okay.
Right. And you could even define it more and say, my personal development through reading these books, doing this work, you know, beta work and whatever. You can make it nice and defined, like we've talked about too.
Yeah, because one of the things that I noticed, and I mean, this sounds kind of ridiculous in a way, but I guess it makes sense, is like the examples that I look at, of course, are like all of you coaches and things. And then like I read these self-help books and things, and these are like motivational speakers and, you know, all these great mm-hmm. people and, you know, Brooke Castiglia and all mm-hmm. those. And all I can do, like sometimes reading those, is think they're rich and famous. Like mm-hmm. I can't relate to it. So then that's when I start with the, I'm reading these books that are supposed to be like motivating, and I'm mm-hmm. sitting there thinking, oh, I'll never be, you know, because mm-hmm. not everybody can achieve, you know, fame and fortune. Like the year of yes. I mean, Shonda Rhimes is like a famous writer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really relate to them. You know what I'm saying?
But you don't have to. All you have to do is apply their teaching to your life. Right? You get to decide if future Missy is a full-time Sunday school teacher or a full-time stay-at-home mom who does things, who does charity work, who does work at church. You know, you get to decide who Missy is and who future Missy is. She doesn't have to be Shonda Rhimes.
Right.
Right?
I realized after my last call with Corinne that that's what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, because like even with Brooke, I mean, like everything she teaches is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the back of your mind, a lot of her teaching is about being rich.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is, because that's her saying.
Yeah.
I don't foresee that. And I mean, like, I can't even, like, I can't even put that in my future self line, because I can't even fathom that.
Well, then it doesn't go in your like, future self just yet. Now, maybe someday it will.
Right.
Maybe someday it will be in your future self. But right now, I think you should focus on what you really see and what you want to grow toward. I mean, if you put earn $1 million by December 31st in your future self, in your future Missy person, then you'd have to come up with action steps, right? Future Missy's a millionaire. Right. Well, you know what? It depends on how bad you want that definition of your future self. I don't think you want it that bad. I don't think you care if you earn $1 million.
Right.
Right?
That's part of it.
So it doesn't go, so that's not part of future Missy.
I mean, I wouldn't turn it down.
Well, no, who would? But, you know, I don't, you know, that's not part of my future self either.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that, like, I'm proud of that I did kind of future self myself into was I recently started a support group at church,
mm-hmm.
because everybody kept coming up individually, you know, like, hey, how'd you lose weight? What are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
And for months, I wouldn't even think about it. And then I started thinking about it, but I wouldn't start it because I thought I wasn't good enough. I don't know enough. I'm not certified. Mm-hmm. You know, all the excuses. And then I just said, you know what? I'm done with the excuses. And I put a thing out there. And I mean, before I even typed it, I'm like, nobody's going to respond to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's want to, you know. Well, in the last 3 weeks, I've had 9 different people. And I'm doing it with women so they can be open and talk about whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's just a like meeting in the Sunday school room and letting whoever comes up show up.
So on December 31st, how many people are in Missy's? How many classes, how many meetings does Missy have? And how many people has she helped? How many people are in her meetings? That's what you can define.
Okay.
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 If that's your passion, if that's where you think that you're going, then you get to work on not 9, maybe it's 30. Okay. How do I make that happen? I talk it up. I put a note in the church bulletin. I, you know, hang posters on the wall, you know, whatever it is.
Okay.
Right.
It's funny you mention that because I'm doing the church newsletter today.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do the church newsletter. Mm-hmm. I put it in there. I almost deleted it because I'm like, I don't know. Does that seem too pretentious to put it in there when it's about myself? Like, there's a lot. I don't even know why I'm going there, because the people that have been coming are like, can I bring my friend? Mm-hmm. I had 2 guys come up and said, are you going to start one for men? And so it's all been positive. I haven't had any negative feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've worked through my own, like, you know, after you do something, you think, oh, I should have said that. What if I said something wrong? But I've really been doing pretty good. Like, I've really kept on the thought work with it. But it was so hard for me to put it in the newsletter today. I don't know why.
It's just insecurity.
Yeah.
Do some work there.
Yeah.
Why are you insecure about it? Why are you questioning yourself? Just do some work on that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all that is.
Because I really do feel good about it. And I feel like it's been going really well.
It's just a practiced, that's a practiced thought for you. Am I doing the right thing? You know, you're seeking, it's just like seeking the validation from your husband and from everyone else.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Rather than giving it to yourself. That's
always.
That's just that practiced thing that you do.
Okay.
Okay.
So just work on doing future selves and what I look like.
Mm-hmm.
at that point. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you want to work toward? Who do you want to become?
All right.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Okay. Have a good one.
All right. You too.
Bye.
All right, Kim. I'm going to take you and then see if we can, see if you can do you real quick because we are past time here. Well, I'm trying to unmute you. There we go.
I got it. You're over time. I didn't really think I was going to get that call done. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about enthusiasm for the program and how sometimes, I'm getting more and more confident, and yet I'm feeling like it might be affecting some of my relationships.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And I could be just stuck in my head.
Yeah, probably.
That's a thought.
Yeah.
So the more thought work I do, I feel like I'm letting go of a lot of mental weight. And I have also done the weight loss, so that's all good. But I just feel like I have this, I'm just really aware of all my thoughts. And sometimes in my communication, I feel like I might be a little bit more direct, a little bit more matter of fact, or I don't know, but there's something going on and I don't know how to model it. I don't know how to download it because it seems like each individual situation is its own.
But there's probably a common.
Yeah, there's something common. There's something going on.
Give me one quick situation.
Well, one of my better customers this week fired me.
Okay.
Because I was honest with some information.
What did you say?
So I
don't give me a lot of backstory. Just tell me.
Right. Right. I basically said that I have to. She has a competitor opening.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to service both accounts.
Okay.
And she's basically put me in the corner saying you have to pick a side.
Okay.
And my companies that I represent don't allow you to do that.
Okay.
Or don't want you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, she is pretty much bad-mouthed me to my vendors.
What did she say?
Twisting some of the things I told her. Not even twisting.
What exactly did she say?
She said that I was disdaining.
Okay.
Okay, so that.
All right, so that's your C line.
Yeah.
Your thought is, she bad-mouthed me.
Okay.
Your feeling is?
Hurt.
Action.
I have to back away. Like, I don't.
Do you back away because you're hurt?
Well, my action, I did write an apology. Okay. I wrote an apology.
Did you write the apology because you were hurt?
Yes, and the combination of it could be true, meaning okay.
So you didn't write the apology because you're hurt. That's another model. You're trying to repair the relationship by writing the apology.
Technically, no.
Hurt.
Yeah.
When you say hurt, your action is to withdraw. You probably talk to yourself a little ugly. I shouldn't have said that or something.
Or basically I said, okay, I was honest with her and it backfired.
Okay. So you got defensive.
So, and I feel like I might've been too honest with her because I have confidence.
That's another model.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not going to write
it. Three of them now.
I'm just going to re-listen to this.
Right. So you've got the one where you're hurt. You've got the one where you're defensive.
Okay.
And you've got the one where you're apologetic because you wrote the apology. Right?
Okay.
And then what was the last one? You probably got one where you're angry as well.
Not as much as I anticipated.
Okay. So that's where your work is. You've got four different feelings. You know, so those are each.
Those I think are six months models. Ago, I probably would have been.
Okay. Make sure when you do your models and you put, you know, you start with each of those feelings. That's how you know you have four models, because you have four different feelings.
Okay.
Make sure you ask yourself, why did I feel this way about what she said? That'll give you the thought.
Okay.
Okay. Then make sure your actions line up to that feeling. When you're hurt, you're not writing apology letters. You're crying, or right. You're withdrawing, or yeah. You're...
Yep. I did all that. Yep.
You know, all that kind of stuff. When you're defensive, you're not writing apology letters, right? You're arguing. You're defending yourself, right?
Right.
So make sure when under this is very, very common for everyone who's still listening to have one circumstance that has lots of different models, because you have lots of different thoughts about that one circumstance. When she started telling me the whole story, I knew there were going to be lots of different models, because each sentence is a thought,
right,
for its own model. So only one thought line, only one sentence in your thought line, and only one feeling per sentence.
Okay.
Okay. Make sure your actions line up. I think what you'll end up, the first thing you need to do is write all this down, right? You need right. to do your big thought download on it and start picking out your thoughts. But I think what you'll end up coming back to, is likely how you want to handle it differently in the future. You know, you'll nail in, you know, what you want to level up, what you would expect, you know, how you would expect to handle it differently in the future, and why you got defensive and why you got hurt.
Okay. So in the, I've thought download since it started this earlier this week. So I've been waiting for Saturday. So my action, or what I would do differently, is not congruent with where I want to be. So my action would be to pull away, not be as honest with the next time it happens, not be as upfront next time, like just kind of shut down and not share information. But that's not congruent, I feel like, with who I am.
Then like, is that your true intentional model? If it's not congruent with the person you want to be, it's not your intentional model. It's not authentic.
It's not authentic, but it will save a future relationship, or it may.
Then there's probably some work to do there too, to find middle ground.
You know, because it's work related. You're in the middle. I'm in the middle of a lot of different moving parts.
Yeah. So there's work to figure out what the true intentional thought is, the true intentional model is. You haven't found it yet. It's a whole nother set of thought downloads.
Okay.
Okay.
Give me a little more future thought on that.
I'm sorry, say that again, you broke up.
So what, can you expound on that a little bit further?
Okay. If what you think you should do mm-hmm. doesn't feel right to you, then you haven't found the right intentional thought. Okay?
Okay.
So you just need to continue to thought download, you know, how would I handle this in the future? How should I handle this in the future? What is the best way to handle this in the future? You know, just ask yourself all those questions and thought download until you go, that's it. That's authentic to me. That works within the constraints of work. This is how I want it. This is what feels right. This is what I need to do.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. That is helpful.
Good. I'm glad.
All right. I'll let you go. You have a good weekend.
All right. We'll see you.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right. I'm going to run through these Q&A real quick. If I did not get to you today, please come see me and ask coaches, or Tuesday night, I'm back at 6 p.m. Central on office hours. Let's see if I can get through these real quick. Hi, I'm a June newbie, and I'm having my first day where I'm frustrated, irritated, and I just want to eat. I've only had a very small little salad with shrimp, like 4 bites, but I can't tell if I need to eat a bit more or if it's my emotional eating taking over. Luann, can you not tell if you are physically hungry? If it is physical hunger, then you need to eat. If it's emotional hunger, then you need to journal. That's the big difference. You may be some of both if you've only had a very small salad with shrimp. I don't know. But that's what you need to examine. Am I physically hungry? And just think about what you're feeling in your body. Okay? If you are reacting to frustration, I would calm myself down first. I'd do a little bit of journaling, or I'd take some deep breaths, or I'd go for a walk, and then I would take a good look at my body physically to see where you might be. Gail says, what the heck? Kathy, please repeat the Karenism. It's the past is your teacher, not your fortune teller. Okay. Vicky says, thank you. I'll write all my judgments down. Shanna says, looks like you and Betsy are here to answer all kinds of questions, not just weight loss stuff. Yes, because Shanna, here's what happens. Oh, I skipped some. Okay, I'll go back up. Here's what happens, Shanna. The drama in your life, the things that are going on in your life, is a lot of times why you overeat. So if we teach you how to manage your thoughts, then you manage your overeating, because you're not overeating most of the time because things taste good. You're overeating in response to an emotion. Okay. So if we teach you how to manage your emotions, then, and the things going on in your life, then, it usually helps your weight loss, right? Okay. For the July challenge, is there a replacement exercise for the squats? I have knee issues and want to avoid the squats. Sure. Just pick something else. Okay. Just pick 20 of something else. If you're concerned about the squats, then, I don't know. What's another leg exercise you can do? Do leg lifts on the floor, or, fire hydrants, or something like that. Also, I plan to do the 3 strength moves in the early evening, right when I get home from work, to give me a little boost of energy for the evening rather than doing them in the morning. Will that switch up be Corinne approved? I think her intent was for you to do them first thing in the morning, but if the way you are going to do them is in the evening, if you get them done, I think that's fine. I was looking through my month and realized I have only lost 2.2 pounds all month. I am doing my plan and sticking to it pretty well. I fall short on water, and the only exercise is 20-minute dog walk every day. Do you think the water is the reason I'm not losing much weight, or do I need to level up more? I'm about 20 pounds from goal weight. The water is part of the reason. The other part is I am doing my plan and sticking to it pretty well. You need to stick to your plan 100%. No overeats. Okay. We don't expect perfection, but that's always where the first level up comes in, is looking at your overeats and deciding, doing your recovery worksheets and seeing what your patterns are. All right. I think that is everyone. You guys have a great rest of your Saturday, and I will see you on Tuesday night. Take care. Bye-bye.